Hello everyone and welcome to Lifetime Adoption's Adoption Q&A session for adoptive parents. My name is Kim King and I am co-hosting with Libby Denniston, and we are excited to be with you guys and answer the questions that are on your minds. And just to cover a couple of ways that you can reach out to us here at Lifetime if you're brand new and are just starting to get to know us. Well, I would say the very first thing to do is to fill out our application on the website, and that is at lifetimeadoption.com/apply. And when you fill out that application, it really just helps us understand where you're coming from, what your circumstances and dynamics and characteristics are, as well as we can start to see a little about what you have in mind for the type of adoption that you are pursuing. So there are a few questions that are related to your preferences and questions to answer about yourself. If you are a married couple, I recommend filling it out together. Have your spouse sit with you, if at all possible, to fill out the parts that are meant for your spouse. And maybe these questions on the application can spur some conversation for you. We're excited to have you guys with us tonight, and I want to let you know that you can call us at 1-800-923-6784, and you can email adopt@lifetimeadoption.com. Of course, if you already have a coordinator here at Lifetime, you would want to reach out to her directly with any questions or updates. And by the way, when we receive your application, we normally have a response within 1 to 5 business days. So please do keep an eye on your phone and your email, just in case we had more questions or if we had some feedback for you. We try to streamline the process so that you can have a response in a timely manner. And we also have an open door policy. So even if you've applied and you're waiting for a response from Lifetime's review committee, then you are still welcome to explore further and get questions answered in the meantime. We know that a lot of times in the beginning with the application process, it is purely exploratory. It is definitely exploratory on our part, so you don't have any obligations when you are filling out the application. It's just saying, I want to start a conversation here. So with that, Libby, I will hand it on over to you.
Well, I love that you brought that up as a conversation, because I think that applying to adopt or even researching adoption, I know from working with birth moms that we are often reassuring them, just learning more about Lifetime or more about adoption doesn't mean that once you begin that conversation, we are assuming you're all in, we're good to move forward, you're totally sure about the direction you're taking. And it's the same thing with our team that works with adoptive parents, that you're beginning that conversation because it's only by learning more about the programs that are available and the questions that are going to come up that you need to address personally to let people know what you're searching for. And just learning what adoption is, it's only through those questions and having those conversations that you're going to start figuring out and narrowing down the path that's going to lead you to the baby you long to adopt. So we invite you to apply. It's free. And it doesn't obligate you to anything other than it just helps us learn more about you and what you're looking for so that we can help you learn more about how Lifetime might be able to help you. So we look forward to those. But also, I know that there are several names here that I recognize who are already exploring Lifetime. And sometimes I know this time of year, Kim, you and I were actually talking about how school has started, even if you don't have children in school, or maybe you're not even a teacher, but you just know, okay, the buses are back out, the lines in front of the school zones are getting longer. Everyone knows that the new season is coming. And in this time when summer's winding down and that the people are getting anxious for fall, maybe even looking forward to holidays around the corner, that the schedule slowed down and people start to think, you know, I really want to get back into learning more about adoption or taking the next step. So I'm so glad to see all of you here. And whether you've been already working with Lifetime or exploring Lifetime or you're here for the first time, we're just glad to see you. And we really want to welcome your questions. So that's what tonight's call is about. It's an adoption Q&A, questions and answers. And so if you have questions to ask, please type those in the questions box. And then also, I want to encourage all of you, because whether you have adopted before or you've just begun your research, you have experience that may speak to some of the topics that come up tonight. So you're welcome to chime in, even with comments or things that work for you, or even, you know, tie-in questions to keep the topic going. So we really invite that. Also, I always like to bring up, you can go to adoptionteleconference.com and see so many of our Q&As and adoption stories. So on the weekends or at night when you can't stop thinking about adoption, you can even go and learn more from those resources too, because one thing I've learned is that the more questions you ask, the more questions come up that you need answers for. And the same thing goes for when you're listening to adoption stories. You will hear a story and think, oh, I never thought of that, or yeah, I've always wondered about that, and it'll spark the next question. So keep that conversation going, because that's really the only way to find the right fit for you and the path that's going to lead to your adoption success. So welcome, everyone, and we did have a question emailed that we can start with tonight. It's a little bit different, but I love it because it really speaks to the different reasons that adoptive parents feel called to adopt and just want to explore how to answer that call and figure out how do we pursue this desire on our heart. And this is actually an email from a couple who began exploring Lifetime and then found out they were pregnant and decided, well, we still want to adopt, but we're not, you know, we want to wait until after our baby's born to pursue that process. So this is a great question for families who may relate to those circumstances, Kim. This is after we started the adoption process, my wife became pregnant. Our baby is due in December. We'd still like to adopt, but what are Lifetime's recommendations as far as when we should continue the process? Should we continue as soon as possible, or should we wait a certain period of time?
Well, I think that you should definitely talk with your coordinator. Since this is a family who hasn't started yet, but they're exploring with Lifetime. They haven't started with Lifetime yet. They have a coordinator here. If this family was already in the program, then of course we would need them to tell us about everything immediately so that we can walk with them and you know, guide them along, because they are already in our program and they'd have the option of placing their file on hold here. But that means, I mean, well, they're already with us. But this family that's actually asking the question is not in the program at this time, and they know that they're having a baby born in December. So I would say communicate with your coordinator who's assisting you. She'll probably say that the review committee would prefer if your youngest baby in the household is as close to a year as possible. There may be a little leeway there. And there are a couple ways that having a baby in the household impacts, you know, what we're doing here at Lifetime. One way is that we can know that you have a baby or are going to be going into labor yourself, and so that you may not, Libby, you were sharing, you know, when we were just kind of batting around this question earlier offline, you know, you might be scheduled for a cesarean around the same time as a birth mom is due, so you might not actually be able to travel, or a last-minute adoption, you know, a drop in the lap might be totally not feasible for you in your condition. So things like that, this is part of why it's very important for families to let us know their changes in dynamics as we go. But a big reason for that also is how it impacts a birth mom. And Libby, you and I were talking about this, and you were sharing some insights about, you know, that kind of trust factor that we're developing with a birth mom when she's told us what she's looking for in a family. And then we presented right. her with families. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
And that would relate more to if someone was already in the program. We definitely definitely ask that people, and this is good advice for wherever you choose to work. If you're working with any adoption professional, they need to know if there's any changes to your family dynamics or anything that could prevent a match from moving forward or prevent you from pursuing a match and being ready to go, change your availability, mm-hmm. so many reasons. And I have seen it before where a family has hid their pregnancy and then it comes out, because eventually you're going to end up meeting that birth mom, or even if you go through with the adoption and you hid the pregnancy intentionally, that birth mom could feel misled. Like, well, wait a minute, I thought that I was choosing a family who didn't yet have children or who only had one child, and now you're saying my baby's going to be raised with a baby about the same age. So that's that's kind of a different dynamic, is really don't be afraid to tell your home study worker or your adoption coordinator that you have an update, that there might be something you need to do to go on hold or put your plans, delay your plans to adopt somehow. But if you haven't yet begun an adoption program, like Kim said, you know, we understand families come from all different dreams, all different backgrounds. I was just sharing with Kim how my sister and I were only a year and a couple weeks apart. So you know, my parents didn't plan on raising two children in diapers at the same time. But, you know, it happens, and a lot of families can identify with that and think, yeah, I really want my children to be close in age to their siblings. And so, yeah, we're pregnant right now, but we still really want to adopt a child. And so we want to start as soon as possible so that maybe those children would only be a year or two apart. And adoption changes the dynamics a little bit, and you have to kind of put yourself in a birth mother's shoes. It's not to say that all birth mothers are going to avoid families with babies, but there will be the question of, well, you have a baby in your home, so is your attention fully available for my baby? And that she may opt to go with someone who maybe already has a child walking, you know, a little bit more independent. You never know. So if you're on the call and you're thinking about adoption, but right now you're moving through a pregnancy, it's so amazing. It's wonderful that you're going through that wonderful milestone and you're still thinking about your future through adoption. And we encourage you to keep pursuing that. But also to be yourselves as a family, whether this is your first child or your fourth child, bringing a new baby home is always an adjustment, and you don't necessarily want to juggle the logistics and the needs required to adopt while you're also trying to bond with your new baby. And so take your time for your family, too. It's okay to say, you know, let's give this 9 months, 12 months before we actively become part of an adoption program. Because so much can happen, and you want to be there for all of your children in the same way, whether you give birth to them biologically or you adopt them. You want to be able to give your attention as parents to that new child. So again, even if you, I know this family's already working with a coordinator here at Lifetime to just explore the program further. So I would encourage you to talk with her, because sometimes it also is just a family by family decision, and it's such a personal decision to decide, you know, how soon do we pursue adoption. The final tip I do want to share on that, going back to being honest with your professionals, is that your home study provider where you live might have a legal guideline on how close in age your children could potentially be. So let's say that you started the adoption process now and got matched with a birth mother due in the spring and you gave birth in December. Your home study might say, in this state, your children can't be that close in age. I think that that's loosened up a lot over the years, but it's still worth asking your caseworker so that you know for sure that you could say yes to an opportunity, and that you wouldn't have to say, oh my goodness, we had no idea that my wife just gave birth and legally our state wouldn't allow us to pursue an adoption for 6 months. So just find out if that even applies to you too.
And I just think that when it comes to Lifetime, just communication, when you know you have something going on, something new, you just tested, you know, you had a positive pregnancy test, then we should be included in that immediate group of people who immediately knows what's going on. And so that way we can walk you through things and explore options prior to it getting to the point to where maybe things are a little out of hand in conjunction with your condition. So I think it just really boils down to communication. Here at Lifetime, we do not close a family's program because they got pregnant or had a match elsewhere and adopted or grew their family. We think it's wonderful when families grow in whatever ways the Lord provides. So we're very supportive of that. So our focus is just being able to assist you through it, as well as being honest with birth moms. And, you know, that's part of why our hold option is an option. You know, the hold option was invented. You know, let me just explain what the hold is. You can actually place your program on hold or a freeze for up to 9 months total. And sometimes people think, well, okay, pregnancy is 9 months. That must be why Lifetime has a 9-month hold option. But actually, it was started for military families way back in the Gulf War in the 90s when people were getting deployed for the first time in a long time. There were some sudden deployments for months at a time. And so we built in the option just for military families only that if their spouse is deployed, they could put their adoption on hold for up to 9 months. Over the years, it started to become apparent that there could be other reasons why people need to place their file on hold. Even civilian families might have something come up to where they need to or would prefer to put their file on hold. You can use it up to twice. So for example, 4 months here, 5 months there. So you definitely don't want to use it frivolously. You want to talk to us about it. I wouldn't think that there would be many cases where we would say you have to go on hold, but we would just talk with you about what's going on and how that may impact your availability to birth moms and see what we can do to come up with a plan that's going to meet your needs and what you have in mind, as well as honor what a birth mom is asking for and put you in the best position to be successful with your adoption. That being said, you know, think about this too, because if you have currently 3 children and you're going to adopt your 4th, and perhaps when this new child comes home, you are considering your family complete. Really think like, well, what if we become pregnant, if that's still what you're trying as well, if we become pregnant and then we re-enter, you know, activate into Lifetime's program now with 4 children, you know, the dynamics have shifted. So a birth mom who might have been okay with 2 or 3 children in the home already may not be as okay with 4 already. So your dynamics have shifted. So these are all things that we'd want to prepare you for and talk about and just work with you through. And we'll tailor it to your circumstances. Your preferences are also a part of what we're going to be looking at when we're talking about what would be in your best interest. Depending, you know, we may have different advice for someone who has very specific preferences versus someone who is open to everything, you know, so. Just a lot of different things to think about. That is such a good question.
It really is. And again, it's not just about honoring a birth mother or keeping your professional in the loop. It's really also mostly for your benefit, because we hate to put someone in a position where they have to turn down an opportunity to adopt. And while there are many birth moms we've worked with under these circumstances that have said, oh, wow, that's amazing that they're going through a pregnancy at the same time they're doing this adoption with me. There are other birth mothers who have decided to choose other families, and we don't like to put birth moms through that, but we especially also don't want to do that to an adoptive parent who's excited about moving forward with the match. So honesty is key. There's so many different things this could apply to. It sometimes could even just be we're moving across town or like Kim was describing with military circumstances. Sometimes job situations come up. Maybe you're traveling a lot more than you expected, or maybe someone loses a job. And what putting your program on hold means is that you're not losing time. You become inactive. So you're not being presented to birth mothers, but at the same time, that time's not ticking. So you get to come back, reactivate the time, and pick up where you left off, rather than a lot of families who feel afraid to speak up get called as an opportunity and then have to say no, all the while we found out for the last 3 months they couldn't have moved forward anyway. So they should have just frozen their time so that it would be there to pick up when they were ready again. So it could really apply to a lot of different situations and circumstances. But this is one of the unique things about Lifetime. So when you are researching adoption professionals, a really good tip is to ask, what happens if something comes up and we need to delay our adoption plan? Some programs will say, we'll wish you luck and hope for the best for you. Others will say, we will terminate your time. Others will say, well, we'll work it out. You know, so you just need to know what to expect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And And the same thing goes, I've worked with adoptive parents who were surprised, you know, we went through 10 years of infertility, even tried treatments, even tried surrogacy, maybe, you know, whatever extent they went to, started with an adoption program, got 6 months in and realized we're 3 months pregnant, and it's a healthy, viable pregnancy, and we're expected to complete this pregnancy to term. And then they find out this adoption agency doesn't work with people who have biological children, so now we're out. So you just need to know what to expect should that come up.
Or that they have a rigid guideline that you can't have anyone less than 2 years old or less than 5 years old or different things like that. Yeah.
So just know that before you go in. So I love that this question came up because it also is a great question for those of you who are thinking, yeah, adoption's on my heart. We're just starting to research. We're not really sure how soon we're ready. We just had a baby or we just adopted a baby. So whether you just gave birth or you are about to adopt a child or you did so recently, it's worth it to give yourself time and give your child time to also grow up and become a little bit, you know, a little bit more like a toddler and a little bit less like an infant. So here's another great question that family also submitted, and I wanted to touch on this quickly, Kim. Let me bring it back up because the way she worded it was great. Does Lifetime know of any adoptive moms who have breastfed the children they've adopted? And this is a great question, and I think back to a couple adoptive moms who nursed their babies until one or even after 1 year old, and so by the time they adopted, it hadn't either they were still nursing or it hadn't been that long since they finished nursing their other child, and it was easy for them to just nurse the baby they adopted. And so, yes, there have been other adopted moms. There have even been other adopted moms who nursed without ever having nursed before. And there's a lot of information you can learn about that on your own to find out about adoptive breastfeeding. But one thing I just want to add is that you have to be sensitive to a birth mother's hospital experience and to not be disappointed or angry or frustrated if you show up at the hospital all eager and ready to start nursing the moment you hold your child, because that's that birth mother's hospital experience. And if she's not okay with it, or even if the hospital has policies against it, which can be common, sometimes they only will allow nursing from the biological mother, just know that once you get your child home, that's your time. You can parent that child the way you intend. So all I say is just keep your expectations in check so that you're not frustrated or adding drama or stress to the situation, but also that a lot of birth moms would probably consider that a huge blessing. But again, she may not even have control over how soon you could begin nursing. So those are also things that sometimes come out play by play as the match comes together too. And it's perfectly acceptable to talk with your home study provider, your adoption coordinator, and to say, you know, this is something I'm interested in. Do you have information? And even with your doctor, and just find out what is this like for other people. So
I would definitely say to, if you're not currently breastfeeding or not in the past to where, you know, you're going to build off of that, definitely talk to your doctor about it to see what options there could be to stimulate the possibility of nursing through adoption. There are also like some, there's an apparatus you can wear and you can get donated breast milk or purchase breast milk, and you can, you know, simulate the breastfeeding bonding experience with your baby, even if you're not physically producing the milk. So there are some really neat options to look into. I know this is a topic that's very near and dear to Marty's heart. Marty Caldwell, our founder, she's a big one on breastfeeding. We actually have a La Leche League former coach on staff at Lifetime too. So we are very supportive. If you're able to and willing to, and it all, you know, falls into place, we think that's wonderful. It's just not a topic that comes up very often, but Marty has certainly done some research on it. I know she has a project on her back burner that she wants to do about this as well. So,
right. And it's different for every mom, just like if you give birth, you know, for some women who want to and can't, and then there are some women who don't want to and then discover, oh, I actually am glad I am doing this. So you have to remember, and I think this could be an encouraging reminder, you're going to become a parent, and there will be things you expect, things you don't expect, just as if you give birth. With adoption, sometimes you can predict some of those, but getting that baby home, you're going to be mom at 3 a.m. just like you are at 5 p.m. and 10 a.m. So you can't always predict how it's going to pan out. And if any of you are on the call who have even had more than one child biologically, or maybe you've adopted more than once, you know that you can't always predict based on children before that either. So these are good questions, but to also put your mind at ease and know, okay, every child is different, every adoption is unique, every year is different. Some women I've known can nurse one child and then a couple of years later have difficulty nursing again. So just to know that there, like Kim said, there are options, and as long as your baby is healthy and growing, that's really what matters. So we had a good question here that said, you gave an example about a birth mother being okay with a family of three but not a family of four. How late in a match could she change her mind about that? And real quickly, and this, I might be misunderstanding the question, but that scenario could be avoided if someone was up front. Sometimes what happens is, oh, I'm afraid to tell my caseworker that I'm pregnant, and now I'm in a match, and I've been in this match for a few weeks, but I'm kind of feeling like maybe it needs to come out, because by the time that baby's born, I'm going to be showing, you know, that's something you should have just talked about sooner. But, you know, that birth mother, she has the right, if your circumstances change, she has the right to choose a family or to move forward with you. It doesn't happen that much, again, because most of the time people are very honest about their circumstances. And most of you on the call could probably identify with the truth. That is, just because you're adopting doesn't mean you're going to be surprised with a pregnancy. You know, sometimes that's a little bit of a stereotype people use to encourage each other when they're going through infertility. But most people don't experience an unexpected pregnancy when they're pursuing adoption. But what can happen is another opportunity to adopt might have come up, and that's just as important to update as if you got pregnant. And I've worked with women who have said, oh, no, I'm totally okay with my children, you know, my child being close in age to the other child they're about to adopt. And I've also worked with other women who said, you know, they're really awesome, and I'm so happy for them, but I want to choose someone who can really focus on my baby and just my baby. So it's hard to predict that, and you just have to be understanding to her choice, because you'd never want her to feel like that was the end of the line and she didn't get a say. But again, it doesn't happen very often. Now, with respect to generally asking how long would she have to change her mind once she, you know, once baby's here, or once you're matched, you know, she can change her mind anytime before that baby's born. But once the baby's born, once she signs her rights, that really can vary depending on where she lives, where you live, adoption laws being honored in that match. I know this question is a hot topic, Kim, and we've talked about it before. I mean, rightly so. Adoptive parents get nervous about bonding with a baby and then finding out, I don't get to be this baby's parent. And and maybe feeling like, oh, I got to start over. But there's trust involved on the other side. And, Kim, this brings up, we talked about this earlier, but now's a great time to talk about it. Sometimes women are going to change their mind, and it's not bad. But you have to remember that she's looking for the best plan for her and her baby, and that when you come to care about this woman, you will know that it's just as hard for her to move forward with adoption as it is for her to tell you she changed her mind.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a woman call in. Now, she wasn't matched with a family. Where did that email go? And actually, I remember speaking with her. She called in, and it was interesting because while we were talking, Diane had also saw that she had inquired online, and she started emailing this woman information. So it was kind of like this full circle of support around her in this 1 hour on a Tuesday night in July. And talking with her, she shared everything about her circumstances. She actually felt pretty certain that adoption was the best answer for her baby. And then today she wrote to her coordinator and she said, after careful thought and consideration, we've decided to raise our child. And she and the birth father decided to get married and raise the child together to the best of their ability. What touched us so much was the words that she said after this, which was, I want to thank you and your staff so much for helping me through a tough situation. I forgot who I spoke to, but she counseled me over the phone last month and blessed my life in so many ways. I will even ask my doctor to add your adoption center to their list of adoption references because you guys are a true blessing. Thank you so much. And when we read that, it brings us right back to the core of what it means to help women learn about open adoption. Learning about adoption is the best way that she's going to figure out if that's the right fit for her and her baby, if that's the right solution. And our 24-hour availability, the way we follow up and support, in fact, this response that this woman wrote back to us telling her that she had decided to raise her baby, and again, she wasn't yet matched with an adoptive parent, but she was seriously considering adoption. But letting us know that she'd made other plans is in response to a follow-up email that we had sent just with additional resources and access to peer support and hearing another woman's story. And so we love when we hear this because then it means we did our job well. We didn't make her feel like she had to choose adoption, but that she had the option to make a plan that she felt was right, and that she felt cared about and loved and unique in her situation. And it's this kind of support that also on the other side, with the women who are choosing adoptive parents and moving forward with matches, that benefits you as the adoptive parent, that she was given the freedom and the time to set the pace for her decision because she's less likely to change her mind when she has this kind of support and resources and education. She's less likely to change her mind once she decides to do the adoption. So that's why we're really careful about the way that we help these women, because we also don't want to put them in a situation where later they're freaking out and saying, I changed my mind, please tell this adoptive parent, or I have to tell this adoptive family that I can't go through with this. We want her to feel more confidence and as if she had the freedom to choose, rather than to ever feel like, you know, you called us and now we expect you to move forward.
And when I was reading over the words in that email from this new mother-to-be, I just felt like what kind of resonated with me was the ripple effect she's going to have on other women who are going to get to a place where they're in a similar circumstance, facing that same fork in the road. And because of her experience and how she felt safe with us, that so safe with us and provided for with us that she would recommend it to someone else in a similar circumstance. Like, that just resonated with me so much. And then I just love that, you know. That is really at the core of what we're doing here. Those are the kind of testimonies we like to see, even from someone who didn't end up using the services to the fullest of their, you know, capacity, but that we were a light along her path.
And we had a great question come in, and I was typing the answer, and then as you were saying that, I thought, you know, I might as well read the question out loud. Do you only do adoptions with infants, or do you ever have older child adoptions? And like you said, the ripple effect. It's possible that this woman, I mean, I hope things work out for her. I hate to see her go through a divorce or disappointing circumstances. difficulty parenting, but she also knows I can call this place again. If my plan to raise my baby doesn't go the way that I expect or that we're planning, I can still go back to an open adoption. And she knows we're there for her. The other side of that is she might refer a friend, or if she gets pregnant again in the future and they're not ready for another baby, she has this information. She knows this is a big part of what we do at Lifetime, is also to educate people about how it's never too late for adoption. And also, learning about adoption allows you to help other people, even if you decide adoption's not for you. So great question. As a follow-up question said, what's the oldest child that you've ever completed an adoption for? The oldest child for me personally in my time here at Lifetime was 11. Usually I would say the average is more like younger school age or toddler age when it comes to an older child. But again, it's never too late. And so sometimes we get women calling with, you know, a 3-week-old or a 3-month-old or a 6-month-old, or my baby just turned one. I saw a couple emails this week actually from women who their children had just turned 2. It was interesting. On the same day, we got 2 2-year-olds. So if you're a family that's open to adopting an older child, make sure that when you apply, we know that, because that also helps. So yes, the majority of our adoptions are of healthy newborns, but the older child adoptions happen too. Actually, it brings to mind one story I remember, and this has happened a couple times, but one family sticks out. The birth mother worked with a family and had such a great experience through her difficult circumstances with the pregnancy. She was already raising, I think, a 2 or 3-year-old at the time, and she was planning on just placing the newborn for adoption. But as she got to know the adoptive parents and moved through her newborn's adoption, she called them a few weeks after her baby had been born and said, I don't know how I'm going to change my circumstances soon, and I want you to adopt my son too. And so they ended up moving forward with both siblings with her. But it wasn't ever something she initially intended, and they never expected that. Just because a woman calls you about one child doesn't mean that you should expect that you're going to raise her other children. But that's just one example, and yes, they come up. Let's see here.
There was a question, how often do those last-minute adoptions happen? I don't remember. I know we kind of talked about it a little, but I don't know if we answered that question directly. We call those drop-in-the-laps, where we just heard from a birth mom and we need to get a family there by that night or the next day, and we may be working on very limited and quickly dwindling time before birth mom is discharged and whatnot. So I would say those happen about 2 or 3 times a month, so it's definitely a possibility for a family who is in the program here at Lifetime. And we talk a lot about this. Libby, I know that you do a lot of coaching and preparing during the webinars on this, the webinars that are exclusive to Lifetime's contracted families. The topic of drop in the laps does come up quite a lot, so because we don't want that to be a missed opportunity for you.
Well, and what I'm actually seeing, which might interest some of you to hear, is we will get calls or emails from women halfway through their pregnancy, or maybe even in the last trimester, or sometimes even early on in the pregnancy. Maybe she just found out. And then to us, because again, put yourself in these women's shoes. Imagine yourself in an unplanned pregnancy. Your circumstances seem out of control. You don't even know who's around you that you can count on to come through with help. Maybe you don't have a job right now, you're looking for a job. Whatever that circumstance is that's leading you to think, I don't know that I can raise this child. It puts a lot of women in a place of procrastinating or maybe even being in denial, because while that baby's in utero, they don't have to worry about taking care of that child, really. That baby's not crying and making demands and needing daycare and bottles and everything else. That baby's good to go. So sometimes what happens is she may call and actually get information, and then we think, Well, you know, we followed up with her. It's been a little while since she's responded, or maybe she lost her phone number. She couldn't pay her phone, so her phone got shut off, and now we've left voicemails, but she's not getting them. She doesn't know we're calling. Maybe she can't, you know, doesn't have phone access anymore, and that was the only way she was checking her email even. You never know. Sometimes we'll get calls, and it'll seem like a drop in the lap to you as the adoptive parents because you're just hearing about her now from the hospital. But to us, we've already been working with her and following up with her for the last 6 months. So I'm seeing that happen more, which is, I think, amazing because I always want these women to know we're there for them and that truly it is never too late. And so sometimes it's also just these women don't know. It's a hard decision. And they don't always know until baby is coming if their circumstances are going to work out for them to raise that baby or if adoption is going to be the option that brings them the most peace. So we'll get calls from these women. I love it. I'll pick it up. This year I feel like I've heard this a few times. But yeah, I have. I got your number out of an email. I've been emailing back and forth with a coordinator at Lifetime for a while, but I haven't returned her calls, but I'm in labor right now and my contractions are 4 minutes apart and they said I'm about 5 centimeters. So can we get this going now? And our answer is yes, we can. And we will work with her right from the hospital. So I love that.
The great thing about that,
how she feels cared about. She feels she can trust us. She knows we're there.
Yes. And logistically, it's really easy to fax paperwork back and forth with the hospital. So there's no waiting for mailed packets to be going back and forth, or there's no, you know, need for her to have to get to a computer and have some time to sit down and fill out paperwork. We can just have her do it via fax. It's real streamlined. So we're continuing to follow all of the steps of our process. You know, our very purposeful process and all the questions we ask and all the documents that we have, it's just compressed into a shorter period of time if she's already giving birth.
Mm-hmm. And but for those of you on the call who are thinking, oh my gosh, I'd be willing to go, but that sure would put me into a frenzy. don't panic because we're not asking you to know all the answers today. We're not asking you to know how to get up tonight and go. This is a big part of what Lifetime does. So in those moments, we're not only there for the birth mother, but we're also walking moment by moment, question by question with the adoptive parents that are going to move forward with this. And there was another question that came in that said, so in those last minute adoptions, does she still choose the adoptive family? And the answer is she can. If she wants to, yes, she can still choose the adoptive parents. Going back to what I was saying earlier, sometimes I feel like this has been happening to me a lot lately, too, because I answer the calls on our birth mother hotline after hours, and I will get a call from a woman, and I will say, how long have you been thinking about adoption? And she will say, about 3 or 4 weeks. I've actually found an adoptive family online that I really like, but I just have never called because I've been kind of nervous. And so she might call from the hospital and already have a family in her mind, even though we've never heard from her before. And so then we find out she's been looking at Lifetime's families online and kind of connecting with one, and they don't even know her name yet. So you never know. There are other times where she might actually say, it is. I love that because it really speaks to how you can't always judge an adoption based on what you see happening. Sometimes you have to remember there's a lot of activity happening that you can't see yet. So if you're actively pursuing an adoption, there could be a woman right now that's thinking about you, and she's getting the nerve up to let somebody know that she wants to talk to you, or she's getting the nerve up to call you. You just never know. And the other side is, if she tells us, just get someone here. I trust that you're going to know the best person, and I'd like to know their names, and I'd like to talk with them, or maybe once they get here, I'd like to meet with them. If she doesn't want to choose from adoption profiles, then we can also help her choose a family. So it goes either way these days, but I am seeing more and more, even women at the last minute are still wanting to choose her baby's adoptive parents. So great mm-hmm. question. Also, Kim, I wanted to address, we had a couple questions come up about what kind of fees to expect with adoption or with Lifetime, and I would love to encourage those questions. Kim has generously offered her email to a couple of you I saw, so I was just going to say, if you have questions about the fees, because we have different programs at Lifetime, and there are all kinds of different ways that people can fund and finance adoption costs. So we actually did a webinar a couple months ago just on funding adoption, and I encourage you to go to adoptionteleconference.com and find that. But you are also welcome to email to Kim directly, kim@lifetimeadoption.com, and she can answer questions for you about fees and what to expect with adoption budgets and things to watch out for. So, so that's great.
While you're reading through, we have so many questions. Our time is quickly dwindling here. while you're reading through and searching for our next question, there was one that I wanted to just expand upon just briefly, and that is, how long does a birth mom have to change her mind? Every state is different. You won't really know the specifics of your adoption until you have a match. You know what state she's in, and we'll let you know who you can call to get legal questions answered depending on what's involved in your adoption, whether we're going to have you call an attorney or an agency in her state or whatever the requirements may be in that specific adoption. But rule of thumb that I like to kind of stick to is that I don't know of any states that are longer than 30 days. Does that mean there's never an exception? No, there could be an exception every now and then. That's why it would be an exception. But for the most part, they're less than 30 days, which has come a long way since Marty, our founder, was adopting. And I think the birth parents had nearly a year to vacillate, you know, going back and forth. And it was really hard. But things have really changed over the years. Some states are instantly irrevocable upon signing. Some states give 24 hours, 3 days, 10 days. Some may have other different hoops to jump through, you know, in the interim before you know for sure it's 100% secure. So just know that you will know that once you know where the birth mom is and you're able to get some legal information. We'll make a referral so that you can have somebody to talk to about that. And then we will be continuing to walk with you, like Libby said earlier, moment by moment, step by step, through your successful adoption.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And let's see here. There was a question that I got in email. Let's see. I wanted to bring that up. It was kind of unique. I am seeing more women who are choosing adoption are in harder times than I've seen before, which means that there probably will be a need for adoptive parents to budget for helping a woman with pregnancy-related or adoption-related living expenses while going through the match. And that really can vary situation to situation. This question asked, if the birth mother who chooses us is in need of housing, could we provide housing even though we know that she may not go through? And then a follow-up question, which this was kind of to the extreme, and I commend this family for having such a loving heart toward a woman they don't even know yet, but they said, could we even offer her an opportunity to stay with us? It's pretty rare that a birth mother would even want to stay with the adoptive parents just because that could feel like a lot of pressure. Gosh, I'm staying with the people I chose to adopt my baby. Does this mean I still have the freedom to decide how I want this to go? You know, so most of the time, she's also not going to want to relocate, and you may work out through an attorney or through your adoption professional a way to help her with housing so that she's off the street or out of a shelter or in a stable place. Or maybe it could even just be that she just needs a month's rent because her doctor put her on bed rest, and maybe where she lives she can't get disability for her pregnancy because there are some states that don't do that. And that she might just need rent to stay where she's at until she can get back to her work after the baby's born. So there's all kinds of different circumstances. The answer is yes, if your budget allows, then by all means, and if your state law allows, you can help her with those needs. If you're on the call and you're thinking, oh my gosh, I never even thought about that before, we'd love to help, but we're not even sure how we'd budget for that, you know, don't panic, because again, this all comes down to talk with us about budget questions. Talk with us about expectations and how to budget and spend wisely when it comes to adoption expenses for a birth mother situation. There are all kinds of tips too on how to pursue an adoption safely and to not get taken advantage of. But it could even be, sometimes you have to keep in perspective too. Maybe to all of you on the call, it's not that big of a deal to pay your utility bill month to month. But to a birth mother in a crisis situation, maybe she lost her job or maybe her child support from her other children hasn't come through yet, whatever it is that's put her in a stressful situation, she might call in a panic to us and say, I don't know how I'm going to make ends work. I'm so behind on my bills. And to us, we might be thinking, oh my gosh, like, have you been delinquent for months? But to her, it might just be, you know, I wasn't able to pay my $55 water bill and it's about to get shut off. And most adopted parents would say, that's not a big deal. We would be more than happy to get that settled for you. So sometimes a matter of perspective needs to come into play, because $55 to someone who has $0 is a lot of money. But $55 to someone who has a stable job, maybe even a two-job household, and who has budgeted, saved, fundraised, found grants to adopt, you know, that may not be that big of a deal. That's not going to stress you as much as it's stressing her. So if you can relieve that stress for her, it's going to make the pregnancy healthier. It's going to put her in a more stable frame of mind to follow through with the steps required to complete the adoption. So the answer is yes, you can help her with housing. I know of one adoptive parent, actually I know of a couple, who under very special circumstances decided to open their home to their child's birth mother through the pregnancy, but that's very rare. And it's not expected. It's not expected. Mm-hmm. So the opportunity could come. I think just having that heart speaks volumes to how well your future match will go, because you already understand where she's coming from. So great question. I hope that helps some of you maybe to learn a little bit more about that. But you're right.
Here's a question. It's flowing by. I want to try and just touch on some of more of these questions. There are so many really great quality questions sitting here. We might need even to stay a few minutes longer. So let's see. So this question, the gist of it is, where are the birth moms from? Like, what states do you see? And we, yes, we work with birth moms all across the country. So it is very likely that you would have an interstate adoption no matter what state you live in. And we don't have, I would say that there are some states that tend to be in the common states, regardless of where Lifetime is located, just because of populations and adoption-mindedness, that type of thing. Probably California, Texas, Florida, Georgia, North and South Carolina, in recent years, Michigan as well. So there are a variety of states that tend to be in our top most populated, but that doesn't mean that there aren't a few birth moms in different states sprinkled throughout the country. A good resource for kind of just seeing for yourself where the birth moms are, or at least a sampling of, you know, some basic demographics, would be to look at our birth mom listings on our website. And I'd like to explain that for a second too, because I know there are always a lot of questions about that. Basically, when you're in the program with Lifetime, you know that your profile goes out to birth moms that match preferences. So you don't have to worry about that. You don't even have to know this list exists. This list is here because these are real birth moms we are actively working with right now, who are at a point where they're reviewing profiles and, you know, they haven't chosen a family yet. Maybe they're still thinking whether or not to choose adoption, but we want to share some basic information to help adoptive parents see, you know, when questions like this come up where we may not have a lot of stats kept statistic-wise, you know, like how old are birth moms? What races are the birth moms? What are they looking for? Because we include a little bit about what some birth moms are looking for. And not every birth mom is posted there. We work with hundreds of birth moms at a time, and maybe only a couple hundred are posted there. But it hopefully gives you a way to make kind of an educated, I guess, be able to make an informed decision about Lifetime and your preferences too, you know, what birth moms are actually out there placing and considering, as you're forming what you're looking for and what you're open to in your adoption. So hopefully it's a good resource for you, an information gathering resource.
Mm-hmm. And you're always good about explaining that, Kim, and I love that because I just want to throw out there too, as you're researching and applying different places, don't get discouraged when you hit a wall or a no, mm-hmm. because it's all a stepping stone. It's all part of you learning and exploring what's going to work for your adoption goals. So for those of you who might be inspired to apply, for instance, just know that we want to stand behind our commitment to help you adopt, and sometimes that means saying no to some families,
mm-hmm.
So that you can find the place that works to help you get where you want to go.
Right. Here's a question. Do you have specific tips for the home study process, how to make it move quickly? What are some things we can do to prepare for in advance? So just a few tips right off the bat. You know, when you're considering whom to hire for your home study, check their schedule. See how soon it's really possible that they could do some home visits with you, or if they're 6 months out. You know, home studies should only take 6 to 8 weeks, maybe into a third month if there are some complicated things in your circumstances, such as a criminal background or something like that, like a conviction. But if you're the typical family that, you know, you're just wondering, I mean, do I have to have the nursery set up and stuff, you're not expected to have that set up, but definitely check the social worker's caseload. You know, just ask her, you know, what's your time frame if we were to start our home study, and be really on the ball and give you all the documents you need. You know, every time you send us something, we send it right back expeditiously. What's your time frame if we're on the ball? Because a lot of times the delays in home studies come from adoptive parents, not the social worker, but it's still good to ask her, does she have room in her caseload to do your home study in a timely manner? How soon could she be able to do the first home visits with you, especially considering your work schedules as well and when you'd be home during her availability to come out to your house? Another thing is start making photocopies of all of your documents, such as marriage certificate, driver's license, social security card, birth certificate, things like that. So just a couple tips to be able to kind of think in advance and get some paperwork under your belt. You might even request a checklist from her as to what you can start gathering and working on as far as paperwork before you even schedule a home visit.
And that process can be a little different family to family, state to state. So I always like to encourage people, don't hesitate to ask the home study provider, what can I expect? How can I make this go smoothly? We even had a great tip from another webinar that said it's okay to ask the caseworker you're going to work with, you know, are you a little overbooked? Because if your social worker is maxed, then it might prolong the home study process for you as well, and it's okay to find someone else to help you. But I would say the number one thing I always hear from home study providers is a lot of it just depends on how quickly the adoptive parents get the necessary items together and submit them. So a great tip that we had, actually Marty encouraged some of Lifetime's waiting families with this, but a great tip that she likes to share is to work on your adoption for up to an hour every day. That way you can peck away at it, get what needs to be done, checked off, and when it's completed, then you know, okay, now it's all in my social worker's hands. Now it's all in the coordinator's hands. They have everything they need from me. The ball is in their court now. I just need to respond and act when I hear back. So that way you're never thinking, oh my gosh, like the cause of all these delays is because I haven't completed a step. That way you know you've done what you can.
Mm-hmm. Here's another question. If in an open adoption, if we move, what happens? I mean, how does that, what if we don't fall into the expectations the birth parent originally had? Does this cause legal issues? No,
oh,
it doesn't
like
cause legal issues.
Wanted, like if she wanted a family that lived within a certain area of her, like a radius of her or something like that.
Yeah, so I think that a birth mom can't really have expectations on you to always live exactly where you're going to live, you know. And certainly if you are a military family, that's part of her consideration of you. We've not seen that type of thing prevent military families from being successful. A lot of times this question comes from military families or families who know that for work purposes or school purposes or family purposes, they're not planning to reside where they are for the rest of their lives. Like if they live in Texas, they might be planning to move to Florida, you know, in 10 years or something like that, and they're thinking long term. But I think just having clear communication with birth mom and letting her know when things are possibly going to change so that she can know that you're thinking about her as well. She won't have any legal rights to the child or to stop you or anything because this is an adoption. She's terminated her parental rights voluntarily. But I think just really what she would want, and Libby, maybe you can shed more light, just how she's going to feel is just knowing that you're committed to staying in touch with her. You're not falling off of the face of the planet. You're not moving without telling her, you know.
Right. I think that concern, when I hear from women who say, I really want a family who lives within this area, because then I think it'll mostly where she's coming from is I think it'll make them follow through with their commitment more than if I live in Virginia and they live in Oregon. Having a whole country, a whole nation apart, she might feel like it's more out of sight, out of mind. If she wants to choose a family who lives within a certain vicinity, it's not because she wants to check up on you all the time or pop over by surprise or get together often. It's sometimes just to her, she's thinking, this will be easier. It'll be easier for me to get mail. It'll be quicker. When we want to coordinate a yearly visit, then, you know, we could drive halfway or it won't be that taxing for me to drive. I would say by the time she actually matches with the adopted parents, though, that she will develop a comfort level. The relationship will hit a comfort level where they can talk about, hey, you know, I know that you chose us because we lived within, you know, a three-hour drive of each other, and that would make visits easy, but you know, my husband just got offered a really amazing job opportunity, or my mother lives out of state and she's going through a really hard time, and so we've decided to go move and to help take care of her. You would also, in that conversation, talk to her about, don't worry about this changing the way things are with us. We will still get together. We will still keep in touch. So it'll become more relational and less logistic, I would say.
Mm-hmm. And I think for most birth moms,
side is
for open adoption, it is more of a relational focus,
yes.
Not a rigid expectation.
That birth mom may never know, too. I've had conversations with women that said, I want a family that lives in my community. And I actually said to her, do you want to live in your community forever? And she finally actually said, oh, you're right. I actually really, really don't like living here. And her dream was to move out of state to a totally different state. So once she kind of heard it out loud, she thought, oh, well, yeah, that doesn't really make sense. I don't need them to live here because I don't always want to live here. So it goes the other way, too.
That's very true. Yeah.
Great. These are some good topics, and I love all of these because maybe, too, we can also address some of them in individual webinars, maybe circle webinars around some of these.
Yes.
We had a great question about age. Age is such a common question, and I know adoptive parents get nervous. I would say if you're in, this is the, you know, what age is a turn off to birth mothers. And usually what that question means is, are we too old to be desirable candidates to adopt a baby? If you're under 50 or even in your early 50s, know that most adopted parents these days are in their 30s, 40s, and we're seeing early 50s. Some adoptive parents are starting to come to adoption sooner, and so we are starting to see more couples even in their 20s. So those of you who are maybe on the younger side of the average, don't think that we're not speaking to you too, because I know that sometimes the flip question is, are we too young to adopt? It really is such a personal thing, and so we just encourage you to apply, because when we're looking at adopted parents, we're looking at more than your birth dates. We're looking at, are you someone with an application in whole that is going to be potentially chosen by the birth mothers who are typically on average calling us. Also, I know we have worked, this is sort of a unique circumstance, we have worked with some couples who maybe one is significantly older than the other, and sometimes you may even need to ask a home study provider to find out if there are any restrictions regarding age or even length of marriage in your state or your particular community. So sometimes that needs to go to your home study provider before you're asking adoption professionals if they'll accept you based on that. So that was a great question. Kim, let's
and
see.
You know, sometimes a misconception of the application for our program, sometimes people think, oh, well, Lifetime didn't have an opening for me in their or I got an email saying that Lifetime can't assist me. So does that mean I'm forbidden from adopting? Does that mean I don't meet basic adoption requirements? And it doesn't mean that at all. You know, we didn't do a background check or anything. We're just looking to see basic things that birth moms are looking for, what openings we have, and honoring commitments to families that are already here who may have some specific characteristics or some specific adoption preferences that are very similar to yours. So we're just not able to, you know, bring in a new family who is similar until we honor that commitment. You know, sometimes we have wait lists in certain areas as well. But I think, again, I've kind of been shouting this throughout the whole webinar, just communication, you know, talk with us. And then we can really, because it's so case by case, it really is. And your application really helps us be able to tailor our advice and our feedback to you specifically, you know, not just give pat answers.
Exactly. That's why the application is so important, is because no two families are the same. And you may have criteria on your heart to search for. There may be unique questions related only to your family. There's all kinds of different things. Just like the birth mothers we work with adoptive parents one-on-one. And so all of that information that you're communicating and sharing is personal to you, and we try not to lump people into boxes, but we really try to work with adoptive parents that we know and have confidence that they will be successful if they follow Lifetime's guidelines that we could help them adopt. And we also have direction. Sometimes we have direction for people that we feel may find success elsewhere. So that's why communicating is so important. But definitely, again, going back to where we started, Kim, anytime that you're working with any adoption professional, communication is vital. And if anything changes your adoption status, or if you just need clarity, sometimes it's about clarity on your side. Make sure you understand the process that's expected of you, the next step that's needed, and then if you need help on how to complete those steps, speak up, because I think it's near impossible to know too much about adoption and the process. It's better in the long run to just feel like, nope, I've hashed this through in my mind. I do understand this, but to also be flexible and know that something may come up that you have never even thought to ask before or that you've never heard of, and it's okay to ask, what is that about? What do I do with this? What are you talking about? So, great. I love that we got to touch on a little bit of different topics tonight.
Yeah.
And again, I want to remind all of you, if you do want to apply, you can go to lifetimeadoption.com/apply. If you're already working with a coordinator here at Lifetime, remember you can reach us, get your questions answered. Call 1-800-923-6784. And keep in touch and just let us know how you're doing, because just like the question we started with tonight with the family that's expecting, you know, they may not be ready to start adoption in September, but we still want to hear from them. We love knowing how they're doing, what questions come up, because this phase for all of you, whether you start next week or a year from now, this is a phase that you're getting answers that you're going to use when you meet your baby. Mm-hmm. All of these are leading towards the steps and the path and the end goal that you're hoping for in adoption. So keep in touch. Let us know how you're doing. Even if you're thinking, I need more time to think about things or learn more, just let us know that. It's okay. Just keep in touch. We're here and happy to help. And we want to make this a smooth process, but we also want to make it a positive process. So just let us know what we can do to help, and we look forward to meeting with you on future webinars, so keep an eye on your email, and I thank you all for joining us tonight. And Kim, thank you,
thank
too
you
for,
all.
For all the typing and the talking.
You're welcome. I wasn't typing quite as much this evening, but I think we covered a lot of bases. Great questions, great, good quality, thoughtful questions tonight, and some of them that we just didn't have the time to answer because we delved into, you know, a little deeper in some other areas. Send those questions to us. You have our emails. Our email addresses. Send those to us. We are happy to answer any questions for you. We just may not have been able to answer them on live on the webinar tonight, but hopefully you'll be able to join us for our next webinar, and you know, we'll take it one day at a time, step by step.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I'm going to try and type with a couple of you here as we wrap up, but we will meet with you all again soon, and I hope you have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
Have a great weekend, guys. Bye-bye.